Welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. When Hamas launched its operations against Israel, the Western world, as usual, declared it was an unprovoked attack. This is not surprising. As with the conflict in Ukraine, the West refuses to accept that it is responsible for its client state's destructive and illegal behavior. Crosstalking Palestine, I'm joined by my guest, Ramzi Baroud in Seattle. He's a Palestinian author and journalist. In Tehran, we have Mohamed Mirandi. He's a professor at the University of Tehran. And in Rome, we cross to Romana Rubeo. She is an author and managing editor of the Palestine Chronicle. All right, Crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. Ramzi, I'm going to go to you in Seattle first because it's a god-awful hour there. I really appreciate you joining us here. I'm sure you've been watching the coverage of the conflict starting on Saturday. And it was an unprovoked attack, apparently. Just came right out of the blue, you know, just a bolt out of heaven here. It is so painful. I mean, as everyone knows, I've been covering incessantly the Ukraine conflict, and we have the same rhetoric, unprovoked attack. But saying this about Palestine, I mean, we got to go back 70 years if you want to talk about unprovoked. Go ahead, Ramzi.
Absolutely. So even I'm going to jump right into it and say that forget about what Palestinians think and feel about this, just for a minute, to try to understand this term, unprovoked. I mean, international law says that Israel is an occupying power. The United Nations says that Gaza is under siege. Pretty much everyone around the world, every country around the world, at the United Nations says that Israel stands in violations of numerous international laws and United Nations resolutions. It has absolutely no respect, neither for the sanctity of Palestinian lives, nor for the fact that Palestinians are requiring the most basic and minimal food, medicine, freedom of movement to merely survive. And it takes place day after day after day. If there is anything in the world that is provoked, this is it. So how can they use this term in good conscience? And how do they get away with it unchallenged? The mainstream media is absolutely bizarre these days, that there's not a little bit of speck of space for us Palestinians to fight back or to at least say, recognize that maybe we have a different narrative or a different political discourse. Maybe the lives of our children do matter. Maybe the lives of our people matters. Maybe, just maybe, Israel is an apartheid colonial state that should be held accountable under international law. And yet it's not. So yes, it's very much provoked. And that should be where the conversation is.
Well, let's go to Professor Mirandi. That would, if they did do exactly what Ramzi is proposing, that would mean they have a conscience, but they don't have a conscience here. I'm sure it didn't go amiss to all three of you. We had the arch neocon Nikki Haley running for the Republican nomination for president, and she said on national television, "Finish them, finish them." That Professor, that's a call for genocide, and it went. Nobody said anything. It just went. Water off the back of a duck. Go ahead, in Tehran.
Quite a few people have been speaking about genocide in the last 3-4 days. It's quite amazing. It's not just Israeli officials and Israeli public figures. It's Western officials and Western politicians and Western public figures that are saying, give them hell. Get rid of them, destroy, and if you, we hope never to hear about Gaza again after a few days, and that sort of thing. And I think that symbolizes the fact that is a symbol of Western civilization and where it stands right now. Israel, in my view, represents Western civilization today, and the acts of Israel represent the acts of Western governments and Western political elites. I'm not speaking about the ordinary people on the streets in London or New York that are struggling to get by. I'm speaking about those elites that have positions of power and influence in the media, in academia, in business, and in government. They are extraordinarily racist. They are the true enemies of human rights and human dignity. By saying this was unprovoked, they know they are lying. They know that for 75 years, the Palestinian people have been provoked 24 hours a day. We see almost daily deaths in the West Bank by Israelis, usually teenagers. The Israeli regime goes into a camp, kills a few people, comes back, nothing happens, and it's not reported in the media. Settlers go and attack children, burn them alive, beat up adults, beat up teenagers, kill a few here and there. It's not reported in the Western media, and it has become a lot worse. In fact, ever since the new Netanyahu regime has come to power, the situation has become unbearable, and the attacks on Palestinians have increased. So no one in this part of the world is fooled by the narrative. And I think in other parts of the world as well, the global South, no one really takes the Western media seriously anymore. The influence of the Western media is in the West. It used to be that the Western media had hegemony over the globe. But now I would say it has hegemony over the West, and there is alternative media, but that is, I think, kept in check.
Well, we're trying to turn the page, and with guests like this, we are. Ramana, one of the interesting things is that we had the Prime Minister of Israel saying to the Palestinians in Gaza, get out of Gaza. Now, hold that thought, and then you show the airport in Tel Aviv, and people are all leaving. Yeah, well, they can leave, okay? But it's not explained to Western audiences that the people in Gaza are in prison. They can't leave. But again, in Western media, just about, they have to leave. Go where? Go ahead in Rome.
Absolutely. The context is completely missing from every account in Western media these days. And nobody is mentioning the fact that Gaza is under a hermetic siege and has been under a hermetic siege for 16 years. A few days before October 7th, before the Palestinian resistance launched this major military operation, we were reporting about the fact that kidney patients in Gaza did not have the medical supplies that are needed to be treated. So doctors went on camera saying, begging Israel, please allow some medical supplies in. These are the living conditions in Gaza, which the United Nations declared unlivable by 2001. We are in 2023. What I'm saying is that the so-called international community, I would say rather the West, and also the Western media are responsible for what is happening today. Because yes, of course, Nikki Haley called for genocide. Yoav Gallant, the Israeli defense minister, yesterday said that Gaza had to be completely shut off the world, and no water, no food, no fuel. And these are open call for genocide. But even turning your back completely and not reporting about the Gaza siege and about the unbearable conditions of the Palestinian people means being responsible for that genocide. So I really think that the international community, meaning the West and the Western media, are actually responsible for what is happening these days.
Ramzi, I found it really quite curious, but it shows how sloppy and actually stupid and dishonest these people are, that there has to be a new Nakba, which, of course, in Israeli discourse, you're not supposed to talk about it. But when it becomes convenient, then they talk about it, and then they actually realize and legitimize the historical truth that the Nakba actually did happen. Go ahead in Seattle.
That's really interesting point, Peter, because they are not just recognizing the genocide of the Palestinians in 1947-48. They are actually using the very Palestinian term, which means the catastrophe of the very destruction of the Palestinian homeland, historic homeland. But what is even more interesting is the fact that people in Gaza, the vast majority of them, are the descendants of those refugees. Yep. Some of them are still alive, but they are the descendants of those refugees who were so-called ethnically cleansed from Palestine. 75 years ago. Another really interesting fact, everybody is talking about Hamas, this Islamic Jihad, that they are trying to find out, was Iran behind this? Was this coordinated with Hezbollah? But nobody is asking the question, who are these young people? Who are these young people who joined Al-Qassam brigades, joined Islamic Jihad brigades, and they are part of other movements, including secular and socialist movements in Gaza, and they are fighting. Who are they? They were either, they were babies, they were children when the Israeli siege on Gaza started in 2006, 2007. They had no political consciousness at the time. They were children. All of this was developed under siege. They were dehumanized. Israel said repeatedly, we count calories. We want to keep Palestinians alive. We don't want them to die, but we want to keep them alive and barely so. So they are the outcome of an Israeli siege and the Israeli dehumanizing discourse, the calorie counting, the lack of complete freedom and a part of a historical context in which they come from a nation that has no political rights whatsoever. And they are the outcome of that original genocide in Palestine.
Ramzi, it's really interesting. Again, I mentioned in the beginning of the program, Ukraine, the people of the Donbas for 8 years had no agency whatsoever. They had no humanity, no sanctity of humanity whatsoever. And this is what, and the only reason I'm bringing up, because this has been done to the Palestinians for 75 years, okay? But the parallel is there. The same discourse is used to dehumanize and to deny people any kind of power. I'm going to jump in here, folks. We're going to go to a short break. And after that short break, we'll continue our discussion on Palestine. Stay with our team. Welcome back to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter LaBelle. To remind you, we're discussing Palestine. Okay, let's go back to Tehran. Professor Morandi, I mean, after the first sorties that the Hamas shot into Israel, minutes later, everyone was pointing the finger at Tehran, Tehran's involvement in all this. Again, you know, the people of Gaza have no agency. They can't do anything without somebody telling them what to do, which is so tiresome, okay? Considering what Ramzi just had to say, when the blockade started in 2007 and you have children, they're grown up now. They've grown up under this regime. Here. I'm pretty sure they have a pretty good idea who they are. But let's talk about Iran, because it looks to me like the Lindsey Grahams, this is another opportunity that they want to have a general war with Iran. I know Iran will not take the bait, but I'm sure Iran is prepared. Go ahead, Mohammed.
Yes, and the Iranians obviously are going to continue helping the Palestinian people, and they're going to help Hamas and Islamic Jihad and all the resistance groups that are struggling for survival and for their rights. But to deny the Palestinian people agency is, I think, racist in itself. Even though this whole affair is racist, the fact that the Western media is supporting an apartheid regime, it shows the institutional racism in the West. But the Palestinian people are highly intelligent, highly creative, very smart, and they were able to defeat a much more powerful and very abusive oppressor. And the Israelis suffered a major defeat, and they don't want to accept the fact that the downtrodden and oppressed Palestinian people trapped in Gaza, surrounded in Gaza, that they could impose such a defeat upon the Israeli regime. But both are, this does not mean that the Iranians won't support the Palestinian people. Iran will continue to support the Palestinian people. Iran will continue to support Hamas. Iran will continue to support Islamic Jihad. But it is the people of Palestine that are fighting to survive. It is the people of Palestine who have defeated the Israeli regime. And it is the people of Palestine that are being bombed, women and children, by the Israeli regime day and night. And the Western media, and the West is not a democracy. There, this whole facade about freedom and democracy is for kids. Even kids shouldn't believe it anymore. The Western media is behaving like foot soldiers for the Israeli regime. They are trying to justify genocide. They're trying to prepare the grounds so that people will accept mass starvation, mass death across Gaza. So they're trying to create this moral equivalence. They're talking about Palestinians raping Israelis without any evidence. They're talking about civilians being killed, where Palestinians are being killed every day for years, sometimes in the hundreds in one day, sometimes one a day. It's something that they live with all the time. So the West is trying to create some false moral equivalence in order to help the Israeli regime. And in some cases, the West is openly supporting genocide. Western politicians, public figures, that used to be the Israelis who said such things, and they wouldn't say it in English. Now everything is fine. Everyone can say what they really think. And
Well, Mohammed, genocide
are not condemned.
Why shouldn't they do it now? They support Nazis in Ukraine. They celebrate in Canada. I mean, the veil is down. They're very open in what their intentions are here. Ramana, I thought it was very interesting too that Joe Biden is sending the aircraft carrier Gerald Ford to the Palestinian, the Mediterranean coast. Okay, again, it's one of the things I look at this conflict. You know, a conflict usually is like two sides of comparable power. It's never been the case here. So they're sending an aircraft carrier against guys on motorcycles. I mean, it's really quite extraordinary. And the extraordinary ingenuity of the people of Gaza, considering the blockade, to be able to defend themselves like they've done is really, really remarkable. Nobody wants to point that out. Go ahead, in Rome.
Yes, absolutely. First of all, of course, the use of the term conflict in the wrong context has been instrumental for so many years. Yep. And, you know, they didn't recognize the fact that there was an occupier and an occupied people. So this was, of course, this has been done for years. What is happening now, though, is that, of course, there was an underestimation of the power of the Palestinian people to resist, but also of the Palestinian resistance movements to organize themselves, both in terms of manpower and in terms of weapons and, as you said, ingenuity, to the point that a couple of weeks ago, Jake Sullivan, which is the national security advisor in the United States, said, and I quote here, that the Middle East region is quieter today than it has been in two decades. And this was said a couple of weeks before this happened, before October 7th. So it means that, of course, they were projecting an idea of the Middle East. We saw Netanyahu at the United Nations with the map without the without the borders of Palestine saying, this is the new Middle East. And they were talking about normalization between Israel and Saudi Arabia without involving Palestinians. They wanted to draw the map of the new Middle East without completely neglecting the Palestinian people. And this is where the Palestinian resistance said, no, we exist, and we are not gonna allow you to ignore us completely while you are projecting this idea of the new Middle East.
Roman, I'm really glad you brought that up because I wanted to talk about this quote-unquote normalization process. Ramzi, is there any coincidence in the timing here? Because when Netanyahu was at the United Nations, he showed a map of the Middle East, and there was no Palestine there. I mean, we picked up on that, but most of the world didn't, or at least of the Western world didn't pick up on it. But hopefully this is a dead in the water right now. I mean, how shameful it has been for Arab governments to be involved in this process. But hopefully it's been put on ice. Go ahead, Ramzi.
You know, it's interesting, Peter, that following every major event, shock and awe, if you will, using American terms, they always declare a new Middle East. Condoleezza Rice declared a new Middle East just after the or during the Israeli war, the devastating war on Lebanon in 2006. Netanyahu stood at the United Nations in September, also declared a new Middle East. And now Netanyahu is saying I will change the Middle East when Hamas struck, which is really interesting. Does it mean that the Middle East hasn't already been changed? So how many new Middle East can the Middle East actually afford? But what is even more interesting is the fact that we're no longer talking about Palestinian political agency. We are talking about a real-time Palestinian strategy. Listening to the speeches of world leaders at the United Nations General Assembly in September, the positions coming from Russia, coming from Iran, coming from South America, coming from South Africa, were much stronger than most Arab countries. So there has been an organized attempt at marginalizing, if not even assassinating, the Palestinian cause and completely removing Palestine from any advancements of American interest in the Middle East, and the Arabs were involved in this 100%. Now everybody is going to go back to the drawing board and they have to rethink that strategy. I personally think that normalization is over, at least for the short and medium terms. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. The Americans are saying, no, we're still in the works and we are going to work on it. But we know that Anthony Blinken has already decided not to go to Morocco, not to hold that so-called Nakba Forum, bringing the Arabs together to celebrate the greatness of Israel. So the Palestinians did, in fact, manage to change the rules of the game altogether.
I don't think it was a coincidence, and that's why I brought up the question. Mohammed, what are the chances this conflict could expand? I'm thinking about Hezbollah in Lebanon, of course, your country, Iran, because there are plenty of people in the West they see this as a golden opportunity to rearrange everything. They always get it wrong. They always get it wrong, but it doesn't keep them from trying. Go ahead, Intaran.
Yes, they always get it wrong.
Always.
And that's something that they are not going to learn again this time around. They simply think that they can change the map and impose their will, and they fail time after time. And the West is not the power, they don't have the strength and the power that they had 2-3 decades ago. The United States and its allies are on the decline. And the existence of the Israeli regime depends on the United States and the power of the United States and the power of the EU. Apartheid is only in place because the United States and its European allies help the Israelis enforce it. Without them, their help, the regime would collapse very quickly. So as the United States declines, as the Europeans decline, and it's their own fault that they're on the decline. Economic policies aside, forever wars, and now the war in Ukraine and tensions with China, they've brought it upon themselves. So as they decline, they look increasingly foolish when they try to impose their will on a region which is changing, which has evolved. Iran is not intimidated by the United States. Iran is not intimidated by the whole of NATO. And the Palestinian people in Gaza have shown that they are not intimidated. The Palestinians in the West Bank are not intimidated. The people of Lebanon are not intimidated. So yes, this could spread. This could get much worse, because if the Israeli regime pushes too hard, they're going to be smacked down. If they try to destroy Gaza, this war will definitely escalate. And have no doubt that with whether the Israelis go into Gaza or whether they do not go into Gaza, they've lost. But if they go into Gaza, the defeat will be much worse.
Yes. Well, if you believe in God and you pray at night, I hope everyone will pray for the folks of Gaza, because it's a long, Absolutely. Long struggle ahead. But it's something that has so surprised me on Saturday. And I really want to thank Ramzi, because he's kept the consciousness of the Palestinian people alive for the rest of us. Good job, my friend. That's all the time we have. I want to thank my guests in Rome, Seattle, and in Tehran. And of course, I want to thank our viewers for watching us here. RT, see you next time. Remember, Crosstalk Rules.